Today we celebrate St. Gregory Palamas, who was one of the great fathers of the church, the last, probably, as you could say, one of the last of the great fathers of the Byzantine Empire, who lived in the 1300s. And he was a monk, but he was also brilliantly educated. He became the Archbishop of Thessalonica, which was the second city of the empire. And he became involved when he was a monk on Mount Athos. He was the abbot of Esvik Menu Monastery, and he lived many years in a cave where he would be in complete solitude in the cave and then come to the monastery on weekends where he would serve the liturgy and would fulfill his abbatial duties and then go back to the cave, where he lived in Hezekiah in deep stillness. And it's this tradition of stillness, or Hezekiah, hezekiasm, that occasioned this huge controversy that happened at that time in the 14th century, which led to two major councils of the church, one in 1341 and the other in 1351, which led to the clarification of the Trinitarian doctrine in regards to the essence and the energies. Now, I'm not going to go into that high theology, but rather what I want to look at today is the importance for us of that hesychast controversy and the type of spirituality that is the foundation of it. Hesychasm comes from the Egyptian desert of the second and third century. And its roots go much deeper than that back into history. And it's the practice of silence. Another aspect of it is the practice of the Jesus prayer, or what is called monologic prayer, single-phrased prayers. So in the ancient Egyptian deserts, the fathers used to pray using single phrases from scripture or using the Jesus prayer. They didn't haul all those volumes of liturgical books out into the deserts with them, but rather they would come and they would sit praying the Jesus prayer until silence overtook them. And that silence led them into contemplation, into silent awareness of the presence of God. Now, along with this, though, goes a very important discipline, and that's the discipline of taking control of our passions, of our habits, and especially of those habits that are particularly disruptive and sinful. The Byzantine list, or the Greek, or the list from the Greek fathers, is gluttony, lust, anger, avarice or greed, despondency, envy, vainglory, and pride. And when we think about what these things are as habits, it means that when we have certain kinds of thoughts or certain kind of provocations or certain kinds of situations happen, and we have a habitual way of responding to them. But when you think about it, all of these habits have the potential to destroy our lives. We know about gluttony, we know about lust. You know, think of how lust can destroy our lives, you know, fornication, adultery, and so on and so forth, and destroy the lives of those around us. Think about how anger can destroy our lives and can destroy the lives of those around us. And when anger is unbridled, and we allow it to go into rage, it can become murderous. Greed. I think we all understand about the power of greed and the desire for money and for things and for possessions and acquiring things and no matter what. Despondency. Despondency is a whole spectrum of that ranges everything from laziness to kind of despondency and listlessness, all the way to depression and despair. Envy. Envy is also connected with anger, right? You know, we have, if there's somebody that we envy, and envy too has a spectrum. It ranges from petty jealousy to absolutely murderous kinds of hatred. And vainglory and pride are the root of all of it. And what is pride? Excessive concentration on the self. It's self-centeredness, selfishness, self-love, self-hatred, self-pity. These are all vainglory and pride. And they're at the root of all of our passions. Now, the spiritual tradition surrounding hesychasm is all about how do we come to a place of spiritual peace and control over all of these temptations so that we don't fall into them. So that we have deep and abiding inner peace, a peace that cannot and we do not let it be disturbed. We don't let it be disturbed by our reactions, by the passions that we have in our own souls. We don't let it be disturbed by other people's passions. Because without this kind of essential discipline, we'll never achieve that deep peace and be able to pray in silence. Because all that will happen is thoughts will come up and more and more and more and more, and won't be able to focus or concentrate. And a lot of what silent prayer, a lot of what the Jesus prayer is about, is being able to completely focus and concentrate. Now, this sounds like a kind of an esoteric monastic discipline, and on one hand it is. On the other hand, there are aspects of this which every one of us, every person in the church, can benefit from and participate in. Because the goal for all of us is the same: the transformation of our mind and our heart by the grace of the Holy Spirit. And the most powerful tool that we have for this, along with the sacraments and the services, is the Jesus Prayer. And it's not just a religious thing either. We use these tools which are given to us through the church and through the religious tradition as a means of stabilizing our life, stabilizing our whole life, so that we can remain undisturbed, unmoved, when people are going off and spiraling off in their passions. We can remain unmoved when even horrible things happen to us. We don't let it shake our faith. We don't let it shake our hold on God. How often when difficult things happen, we blame God for them and refuse to even to look at and take responsibility for what we ourselves have done. That's the first step. We have to take responsibility for our own sins. We have to take responsibility for our own overreactions. Because what the passions are is they're overreactions to certain stimuli, whatever those stimuli may be. And so how do we actualize this? By learning to say the Jesus prayer. By being watchful over our minds and over our hearts, so that we don't let these passionate thoughts take control of us and manipulate our behavior. And it can be like can almost be like surrendering ourselves to the demons, because we lose control over ourselves and are manipulated by the passions. So the core, I think, message that we need to take away from this exaltation of hesychasm, which indeed occupies the highest position of any form of spirituality in our church. And in fact, none of the ecumenical councils dealt with none of the other ecumenical councils ever dealt with anything like hesychasm. But yet, as the primary spiritual discipline that has been passed down to us from over the course of centuries, we can take it and we can use it for our own spiritual growth, to gain more and more control over our lives, and so that we can begin to let that deep peace, which comes through intense prayer, penetrate into the very depths of our being, where we will find that God is present, who is the source of that peace.